Hospital Research Foundation Home Lottery, $4 million grand prize. homelottery.com.au.
Roo and Ditz here on Triple M. Roo, I don't think I've ever spoken to or interviewed a real-life spy, but we are about to. This is exciting.
Looking forward to it.
We're talking about a real-life James Bond. A fellow called Jack Beaumont has written a book, and it's called The Frenchman, and it's all about, well, the world of espionage. It's fictional, but it's based on fact, I think. Let's get him on. Jack Beaumont, good morning.
Good morning.
This book, I take it, it's from all of your life experiences. How sort of accurate or real is it?
Well, it's more in the vein as John Le Carré than James Bond. It is quite accurate, so it's based on my real life.
Yeah.
So my family and everything, and the mission and the story itself is a mix of different real parts.
How do you juggle family life, being a dad with kids and wife, and then being a spy?
That's what is really hard. It's every day you have to become someone else. Every day you have to use one of your false identities. And you're going away, or it's just for one day, or you're going away for a few days or a few weeks. It depends. And then you have to come back and make sure that you're not followed, and make sure that you can come back home without taking any bad guys with you who could identify your family. And then you have to switch in dad and husband mode, and then say goodnight to the kids and act like a normal dad. You know?
What about becoming an ex-spy? How do you all of a sudden not be a spy anymore? Because you've obviously been exposed to so many, I guess, ordinary or bad people around the world in your lifetime.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I was in the military for 20 years. I started as a fighter pilot. And then I was a special forces pilot. And then I was a spy. And I retired 7 years ago. And I joined the industry. And I left to Australia, as my wife's Australian. And it's good because it's far away from the countries I used to work in or against.
But do you ever think that, have you done something bad enough to someone that, might want to track you down? I mean, you're writing a book with your name on it and telling a few yarns here. Do you ever worry that someone will put the pieces together and fly to Australia and find you?
Well, it's first, it's not my real name. Jack Beaumont is a pseudonym,
you tricked me.
It's a possibility. But I mean, it was a long time ago, becoming public actually is the best way to protect yourself.
All right. Tell me, watching a James Bond movie with all of the gadgetry and the different tricks that they use and the things that happen, how real is that? How accurate?
Well, we do have some gadgets, but not at the level of James Bond. and especially in the French services, you can replace the Aston Martin by a Peugeot. It's not exactly the same. But we do have some gadgets, but it's more like a technological, like, for example, how to hide some files on a phone or on something. So, for example, if you get caught at the customs at the border with your camera or your phone, and even if they check as much as they want, they won't be able to find anything in it. What's this kind of things?
What's the worst situation you've been in? And worst is in, your heart rate's going 100 miles an hour, and you think you could die. Like, you just think, oh no, I've gone too far here. I'm in too deep, or this is all over.
Well, the situation you see in The Frenchman in the book, where I've been facing a lot of bad guys in this period of being a spy. But when I've been facing this guy and this level of bad people, it was very hard to stay calm and to stay normal without showing that you're scared, because of course you are. And you are in another country where it's really dangerous. People were hanged on the light poles in the streets, and I knew that if I was caught, then I would be one of them.
You know? What?
How widespread is a spy network around the world? And I ask this question because we do hear some of the great work that's done. Like, so often we will hear that in London, for example, a terrorist plot was thwarted. So there had to have been someone on the inside that, exposed what was about to happen. So there must be many, many spies in each country.
Yes, there is. So some countries have more spies than others, and some countries are more focused on human intelligence, when some others are more focused on signal or communication intelligence. It was a bit of the mistakes, let's say, of the US for a while, that they've been focusing on what they call the Echelon program, which is interception, communication interception. But of course, you can imagine that the terrorists, for example, when they are talking on the phone, they're not saying, important things. They're just saying, like, okay, let's catch up, like we said, you know? And so you don't have any keywords like Al-Qaeda or whatever in it. So it's impossible to track this. And you have like millions and millions of communication per seconds. So the human intelligence is the key, especially today with the technologies. And so to grab this human intelligence, you have to be at the contact of the bad guys. You have to be at the contact of the people who know. So yes, you have to be infiltrated everywhere.
What sort of industries are you spying on? What sort of bad guys are you chasing? Can you give us an example of what you've been involved with?
In industry, you mean?
Yeah. What are their professions been? Like drug dealers or bank robbers or
It depends. You have some people, of course, who are. We are working a lot on counterterrorism, so you have a lot of people who are terrorists, but you have a lot of people who are, let's say, intermediates between terrorists and other people. So they are kind of businessmen, but they're doing a bit of every kind of business. So it can be drug dealing, it can be weapon dealing, it can be women, it can be anything, unless all they want is money. And those guys are usually ready to take some money for anything, and ready to betray even their own family or wife and kids. I've seen guys dropping their wife and kids to death for money.
The what?
I
Dropping their
mean, some
wife and kids,
people,
what do you mean?
abandoning their one of those guys asked to be taken away and hidden, just to save his own life. And he knew doing so that his wife and kids would be clearly killed. And
God.
he just asked for himself. And when we offered him to protect the family as well, he just said, no, just for me, and I want my money.
Save me and throw them my
Gee.
wife and kids.
Yeah.
Gee whiz, I won't ask who that was, but
Now, what
far out.
about the day you decided to retire from this? That you got to be an ex-spy. Gee, how elated was your wife?
Well, it's the thing is, when you're hired to become a spy, what they ask from you is, of course, some high level of intellectual honesty, because they're gonna send you in very difficult situation. Where you are by yourself, so they have to rely on you. But in the same time, they ask you to develop as much as you can your dark side. And one morning you realize that actually your dark side is taking more than 50% of your soul. So you look at yourself in the mirror, and you've been developing it so well that you look at yourself in the mirror and you think, I'm a monster. Yeah. And so that's where that's a good moment to retire. And my wife said, look, I can't recognize you anymore. And then what you've been doing in your life, being a fighter pilot or whatever, and being a spy, it would be great if you could find a real job now.
Like being a dad full time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack, thanks so much for talking to us. It's an
My
interesting
pleasure.
story, and what a life you've led. It's amazing stuff. It is real life spy and espionage. So the book is called The Frenchman, written by Jack Beaumont, based on his experiences. And Jack, I'm going to enjoy reading this, mate. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you very much for receiving me.
Hospital Research Foundation Home Lottery, $4 million grand prize. Homelottery.com.au.